All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night, where we call it Monday Night Raw. This is our Learning Center opportunity for you all to get your questions in, get some things kind of ironed out in the natural sense. So our topic for this week has been all about I can because he did. So make sure you are really rooted and grounded in what the topic is and where we've been coming from this week. I know a lot of times that we have a topic, sometimes by the time we get to Monday, we are just so full in such a sense that we've gathered so much knowledge throughout the week that we just get to Monday night and we're all quiet. We don't have any questions. We don't want to share anything. But I'm inviting you, if any point throughout the call, you do have a question or something sparks in your mind on our topic, I can because he did, want you to go ahead and press star 5. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Just be sure that we will get you on the line with your question. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
I am the same, sir.
Deal, good deal. Well, we want to go ahead and get started for on our Monday Night Raw, the SMB Learning Center. Y'all know how we do it. We have Mr. DJ here, and we have a special guest here on this night where we're going to be answering these email questions. So I do ask that you get prepared. And then, again, like Ms. Candy just alluded to, make sure that if you have a question, press star 5. I mean, this is not for entertainment purposes. This is for educational purposes so that we can grow, okay? So we can grow in the right things. With that being said, Ms. Candy, do you mind opening us up in prayer, please?
All right. Father, we thank you for bringing us through another day, Lord. We thank you that giving us the technology to be here all together, Lord, gathered in your name. And, Lord, we pray as we go into this call that you would open every heart and every mind to be able to receive your word. And, Lord, that you will bless each and every speaker, Lord. Speak through us, Lord. Allow every word that is going forward tonight to be one that is pleasing to your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty, so let's go ahead and get started with the call. Y'all know how we do it. We're going to dive right into these questions. I believe that we have some really good questions on this evening pertaining to this topic. I can't because he did, and we like to have natural conversations. So we don't want the politically correct answers. We want the answers that God has given to you to help us, and not only just you, but help us grow as well. All right, so we do ask that, you know, those of you who may have questions, please get them prepared. Hit star 5, Ms. Candy will get to you. But in the meantime, in between time, let us go ahead and introduce everybody. You know the one who always, you know, joins us on Monday, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How was your week, Mr. DJ?
Oh, wonderful. Can't complain at all.
Okay. Well, Mr. DJ, we're going to get it cranked up on this evening. Ms. Candy, is our guest here yet?
No, sir.
Okay, well, we'll get to her in a few. You know, but Mr. DJ, just give me your general overview of this past week, if you don't mind.
This past week, I felt it was very motivational. You don't have an excuse. When you think about what Christ went through, you don't have an excuse, especially if he's asking you to do something. I mean, you can simply do all things through Christ that strengthens you, but look at the example that he set. He came down in human form and showed us how to do it. There is no example that Christ did something where he had a whole lot of money or those type of resources that we say that we're required before we can do anything. You know, he could have started his own business through faith. Everything he did was through faith. He didn't inherit a whole lot of money. He put a lot of people, quiet as kept, the business world didn't too much like Christ because of his faith. He showed humility, he showed patience, love, and faith to do everything and was successful at everything. The undertakers did not like him. He raised the dead. The doctors didn't like him. He healed the sick. I'm just saying, every aspect that you can think of, there's an example in the Bible about him doing something to be prosperous without money. You know, and that's the first thing we always holler. It's about money, 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 money. You know, and he wasn't bragging about it either. But in every example that he turned to, it was through faith. And basically this week showed us that we need to have that kind of faith. It's almost like, if you don't mind me saying, take a chance because the fight is fixed. You know who your daddy is. You know he's successful. You know what he's been through. So why not believe that?
Gotcha.
Anything you need to do through him, hey, go for it, you know.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. So that's a great overview, and I thank you for sharing that, Mr. DJ. Ms. Kendall, we can go ahead and welcome our guest. Is she here this evening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, y'all, we have sitting in our high seat, Ms. Lawana Brown. Ms. Lawana, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing great. So we're going to answer some email questions, Ms. Lawana. Y'all really pay attention because I had a great talk, and we'll get to that later with Ms. Lawana earlier about some other things. But it has a lot to do with this topic, as we talked about. I can because he did. And like I said, we just come in with not politically correct answers. We coming from those views that God has given you. Because we like to hear them all, because it's great room for growth, you know, with everybody.
Amen.
Right? All righty. So, Ms. Lawana, the way we do it is I'm going to start with the question, email question, and I'm going to start with you, and then I'm going to give Mr. DJ the floor. So your answer and he's going to answer. It's not a debate. It's one of those things that we can get different perspectives, and if y'all have the same perspective, great. If not, that's fine, too, but everything counts, okay?
All right.
All righty. So here we go. Y'all, with the first email question, this is the first email question, and I'm going to start with Ms. Lawana. It says, 6 years ago, I enrolled in college with the hopes of having graduated by now and working in my field of study. I know that the Bible says about, I know what the Bible says about being able to do all things through Christ. However, I am becoming discouraged and wondering if I will ever finish. Do I continue to press forward, telling myself that I can, or should I call it quits and consider going another route?
I believe this person should move forward because everything that we have planned is not necessarily what God has planned for us. Everything's already been laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happens within his timing. So if this is actually what he has in store for her, it's going to come into fruition in his timing. I mean, just like examples in the Bible when they had to wait 40 years for a blessing. For God's response. I mean, the same thing applies here. It doesn't matter how long you have to wait, but God is testing your faith in the process. He's branding you, taking you through the fire. You have to be prepared. He's preparing you for your blessing. So in order for you to get to where you're trying to get through, you have to go through certain hills and valleys. He wants to make sure that when you receive his blessing, that you're ready to receive it wholeheartedly. That you're prepared to receive it. So you have to go through these hills and valleys. You can't get discouraged because when you become discouraged, you're basically telling God, I don't believe in you. I don't have faith that you'll, you know, come through on your promise that you made to me.
Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. All right. Mr. DJ, do I need to repeat the question or did you get it?
I got it. I would say, first of all, 6 years for college is not a long time, not at all. If you're in college, depending on what you're studying, that's nowadays that's about an average, depending upon you know what you're into. Definitely stay prayed up and stay in the faith, and then you need to do a self-assessment as well. If you're saying it's been 6 years. And I'm not making it, I'm not understanding, then you do need to take some time and understand, well, why aren't you getting it? What's going on? You know, if you instead of going to your classes, you know, you going to the Kappa party and doing other stuff, then, you need to have a talk with yourself. How bad do you want it? How determined? Faith without works is dead. So you got to make sure you're doing your part, too. Don't just half study. You know how we procrastinate and then expect to get an A on a test. You know, we give the books 2-3, you know, maybe 20-30 minutes, but you done had all week, you know, and then want the rest of it to be up to God to magically get into your brain. That's not going to happen. So if you're diligent and you study the word as well as study your books the way that you should, then I think you'll see better results. You know, but definitely stay faithful. You know, don't ever lose your faith for nobody, for nothing. You know, because that's the one thing that you got going for you that's guaranteed.
Okay. Gotcha. Ms. Luan, I want to come back to you. Thank you for that, Mr. DJ. I want to come back to you.
Yes.
Translate that into the natural everyday life, because some people may look at it, you know, wholeheartedly and say, hey, well, that's for the college person, so that doesn't apply to me because this is real life. So what about the fact that you're an African-American woman? Correlate that same, you know, that same question to your life. So you're a black woman. You've been working all your life just for equality. Help me out with that question now.
I mean, it basically goes back to you having faith that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches, according to his will. You basically, your faith, if you have a lack of faith, what's going to follow? Your actions are going to follow. So it all starts with your thinking. You have to believe his word first. You have to know his word, and you have to believe in what he says, that he's going to deliver on his promises. So your actions, your thoughts bring about certain actions. If you have negative thoughts and say, you know, have a can't-do attitude, your actions are going to follow.
Okay. Mr. DJ, I'm not leaving you out of this now. What about you? Let me rearrange that question right quick, Mr. DJ, for you. What about the fact that you're African-American male, okay, and you've been raising this African-American princess of yours, your daughter? She's going to grow up to be another Miss Luana, great in the world. But you've been putting and investing all your time, giving her the best of everything, but she just doesn't turn out the way that you want her. How you help us out with? Do you give up and say, I can't, because you didn't put her in the most, you know, prestigious of schools and, you know, higher education and tutors and so forth and so on? The right vehicles, no complaints, no concerns. She's good to go. But yes, she just doesn't turn out to be that studious person that you want. She actually flipped the other side. She's in the streets. What you got to say?
Well, absolutely not. I wouldn't give up on her. At all. I wouldn't turn my back on God nor my ordained responsibility to structure her correct and give her the roots. If you train up a child the way that they're supposed to go, they shouldn't depart from it. They shouldn't part from it. And even though we go out there like the prodigal son, you can have a prodigal daughter. You know, I'd be waiting there for her. I'm not going to put myself at a point where it's putting me out, but I'm not going to give up on her as well. As far as equality, and even as far as having her be a certain way, I have to base those principles on the Bible, not on the world. So, I mean, because people, a prime example, what I'm trying to say is people will look at me and they will ask me, you know, what do you value? And the things that I value may be different from someone else. People ask me, what do I want? You know, what else do you want out of life? I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. I'm not complaining saying I would like this career or this car or this money. I'm fine. I'm totally blessed, and I thank God for it every day. Some people may not have, you know, may not be at that point in their life. So I guess what I'm saying are the things that I value, I can't turn my back on, you know. So, and I would hopefully, you know, she grows up and values those same things. The things that I value, you can't really buy, you know.
Gotcha.
Your family, your health, your strength, love, you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah, I wouldn't turn my back either.
Okay. Well, y'all rolling tonight. The reason why I say that, Miss Luana, is because you're spinning other things out from the same one question. I can't, because he did.
Mm-hmm.
So DJ said something, Ms. Luana, so I'm going to come to you first. Okay, he just sparked an idea in my head. So I want to throw out the question. And the reason why I'm throwing out this question is because I want everybody to hear these responses, because it's very, very relevant. I don't know what they're going to say, but listen to this. Now, Miss Candy, you there?
Yes, sir.
What did that scripture just say? Mr. DJ just read it. He said, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they, what does it say, the rest of it?
And when they are old, they will, I can't remember exactly.
They should not part from it. They should not part from the roots.
Okay, so when they get older, when they are older, they would not depart from that, those, you know, things that you taught.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Ms. Luana, with that being said,
yeah.
It's about to get interesting. I can because
mm-hmm.
he did. Jesus Christ had how many disciples?
12 disciples.
Disciples. Ms. Luana, they was ratchet. They were some bad kids. Now, I'm going somewhere with this question.
Mm-hmm.
I can't because he did. Did Jesus give up on them? The answer is no, right? He didn't give up on them.
Absolutely not.
Look at the question. The question is, so then how can we encourage someone else? Because the Bible says, I want you to break down the scripture meaning according to the question, okay? Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it, okay? So I'm going to start with you, then go to Mr. DJ. How can that scripture, what does that scripture mean in context to not giving up on a child?
You basically land the foundation for that child, teaching them, correcting them, training them, thoroughly equipping them with the things that they need, you know, to go forth and be, go forth and be who you raised them to be, who God wants them to be. And basically, even if we stray off of that path, we've already laid the foundation, which is the most important gift that you can give a child. Even if they strayed from that path, they'll always be brought back to it because you've already laid that mental foundation.
Okay. Mr. DJ, real quick, what you got?
It basically means you have to make sure you plant good seeds, good roots, know how, show how. Give them that example. You could be a parent and has three kids, and all three of them turn out to be three totally different things, but they were all raised under the same household. I'm pretty sure many of us have a kid that we don't have to spank. We just raise our voice. My daughter, for example, I have spanked her, but if I raise my voice, oh, that's it. She is done. That's it. But now you got a little boy, just raising your voice ain't going to do it. We're gonna have to have some man-to-man talks. And what I'm saying is each one of them respond differently to different things, but you still should have the same message. You should still be applying the same knowledge to them in different ways. So, no, don't give up. Don't give up. Stay strong with those roots. And they will, you know, that's Bible. I mean, so if you don't do that, then you're not really believing in it. You're turning your back on God. I mean, like you said, he had 12 disciples. They were some bad dudes. They came from 12 different circumstances. But one thing about them, they all walked with the Messiah. Oh, they walked with him. They were bad. And I'm not talking about bad, bad. I'm talking about good, bad in their own rights. That's why they were handpicked by him. So I'm just saying, you know, we got to stay strong. That's when you got to hang in there and stand in the gap, you know.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Mr. DJ. I'm just going to throw my little two cents in real quickly. Okay. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. A child doesn't necessarily mean your child. A child meaning an infant in God.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Yeah. I love this. This is this Monday Night Raw is for us, so we can learn some things. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Jesus, perfection. Y'all know Jesus was God in the flesh, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
A perfect God couldn't get them heathens called disciples right while he was here.
Ooh.
Don't get discouraged by saying what you can't do, because you can do all things through Christ. Perfection couldn't get a stubborn flesh right, because he gave them 12 disciples the same thing he gave us, something called a free will.
Amen.
Yes.
Ah. Amen. I heard the word train. Training means you have to be consistent with what God can do through you so they can see it. Now, here go the interesting part, Ms. LaWanna. Watch this, Ms. Candy. It says, train up a child in the way they should go.
In the way that they should go.
Yeah, should go. And when they are older, operative word, older. In other words, we don't get right until we mature in God.
Right.
Guess when the, hold on, I love this. Guess when them disciples got right? They got right after Jesus left. That's when they started to mature.
Amen.
Hmm.
Y'all don't hear me? Don't give up on children. I'm talking about people. Because y'all know we'll cut people off quick, right?
Yes, we will.
Absolutely.
Because we say, I give up. I just can't. That's all we're saying, right, Mr. DJ? Don't we say that, Ms. Lorna? I can't. I can't.
Yeah.
That's right. Uh-oh.
It actually reveals where you are. Just because people don't want to get right, you keep on doing what God has called you to do. When they mature in God, they're going to come back and thank you for not giving up on them. Come on. Y'all in your own house, in your own car, wherever you are, how many of us still don't have it all the way right with God? And has God told you I can't yet?
Mm.
You can raise your hand now. Okay, blink then. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, right? So if God hasn't given up on you, please don't give up on his children. I get it?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Because you can't give up on something when it's embedded in you. In other words, you can't change your gender, although some try. You can't change, you know, who you are, your whole makeup. So if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be able to change it and just turn it on and turn it off. If you can turn your Christianity off, it might be fake.
Amen.
I'm just saying, Ms. LaWanna. You know how some women say, shoot, I can't do nothing about these hips? You got it. Can't hide that.
My Lord.
All right. Mr. DJ.
You definitely don't want to give up right before the harvest. If you give up, you'll never see your fruits of labor.
Okay. All right now. Pastor. Pastor Brown. Okay. All right, here goes the second question. I'm going to start with Mr. DJ first. The second email question, Ms. Candy, you had an email question for us. What we got?
Yes, sir. It says, I've heard many times that God is a jealous God. If that's true and we are to be like him, why are we encouraged to forgive? It seems that the two are contradictions.
All right. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
What you got?
If God is a jealous God, but not in the sense that we're talking about, spiritually, you can't serve two masters. That's impossible.
Right.
You can't do that. Not in the carnal sense that's meant for in the spiritual sense, and it's very, very correct. The same way we are with our children. You know, you can't have two mamas, two daddies. You have one parent. You have a father and a mother, and you can only have one head of house. I don't care what nobody tell you. It ain't but one head of house. You can have your play mamas all you want to and your play daddies, but there's only one head of house. And the same way when it comes to us and our spirituality, we only have one father. You can't go out there and straddle the fence, so to speak. You can't go out there and hang out and be sinning and be a, you know, complete sinner, then turn around and you come straight from the club flow to the church flow and say, hey, praise the Lord. You know, here goes some money. You know, you can't do that. You can't serve two masters. So I say, yeah, that's absolutely correct. But you have to know, you have to be that word you use, spiritually mature, not on that spiritual milk, you know, to understand the difference between those two.
Okay. Ms. Candy, repeat that question for Ms. Luana, please.
All right. Question is, I've heard many times that God is a jealous God. If that's true and we are to be like him, why are we encouraged to forgive? It seems that the two are contradictions.
Well, as already stated, you have to make sure that your perspective is in from the proper context. Just like he stated, you know, before, in this sense, it's a spiritual sense. You can't worship any other gods. That's just like he's the one nurturing you, taking care of you, protecting you, like he stated, as a parent would. So he's developing this nurturing, protective relationship with you. So why would you put someone else on a pedestal, basically giving them credit for everything that he's doing for you? He's the one that's building you up. And it's like you're going to take that credit and give it to someone else. So that's why he says you must worship no other gods. You know, he's a jealous God. He's jealous of his relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. That was good. Both of y'all, that's excellent. Thank you so much. All right. Third email question. I believe we have a caller with a hand raised. So we're going to go to a caller first, and then we can get to the next question.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
Good evening. The question that I have is, I've prayed fervently to God, asking him to help me to forgive the drunk driver that ran into my son's car and caused the deadly accident. I know that it's because of God that I can now share my testimony to help other grieving mothers. Yet I still sometimes question God. Does that mean that I still have yet to fully forgive?
Ms. LaJuana, I'm going to start with you.
I don't believe that just because you have questions that it doesn't mean that you haven't fully forgiven. That's just the human side of us. And God definitely understands. There's a lot of things that is going to happen in all of our lives that we may not have an understanding right away. But as he said in the scriptures, we'll understand it, you know, by and by, which means, as Telly has stated earlier, as we mature, as long as you lay that foundation, and once we mature, then we are able to relate back to that foundation and those thoughts, you know, that were put in our minds and the training and the love, you know, we'll be able to revert back to that and gain a better understanding, but there's no timing placed on that. But God understands that we're going to mourn, we're going to have questions, but the most important thing is keeping that faith, you know, that he is the author and the finisher. He knows all, that he goes ahead of us and lays out a plan that we may have absolutely no knowledge of, but that's where our faith comes in, because our faith is going to carry us to that next point in our lives. And then our eyes will start to open and we'll see, you know, start seeing things more and more and have gaining a better understanding. But there's never going to be a specific timing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got?
It does not necessarily mean that you haven't forgiven. I totally agree with what she just said about, you know, the human side of us. You know, that's what makes us human. But at the same time, that's when you have to lean to your faith. And God doesn't mind questions, but make sure you listen for answers.
Yes.
When you ask that question, you have to be receptive at answers. You may ask him, well, where were you when my child was killed? His response is going to be the same place when my child was killed. You know, he's the same God. He doesn't make mistakes. And you never know the reason. It may be an infant may pass, an infant may die, and that infant, God may take that infant because that infant may continue living. It might be a life of suffering. You never know. I mean, you know, he's God all by himself. You know, he's God all by himself. So he, those, you know, you just, respectfully, you know, you ask those questions, but you also have to listen for his answer. I mean, you know, and that's basically it. You got to lean, you know, everybody, he came down in a human form, so don't think he don't understand. You know, he died himself, and he's grieved over us. And think about this. He grieves over us daily.
Yes.
Some of us every minute, every hour. You know, didn't I just deliver you from this? You back over here again?
Uh-huh.
Like, doggone. You keep praying the same prayer over and over and over? I thought we were straight. You know, so I'm just saying, we, you know, you have to be, like you said, mature. You know, you have to be mature in the word and lean to the faith and lean to the understanding and the knowledge of it. And it's not for you to go through alone. That's one thing. You know, some people think that they have to face certain things alone, but that's not one of them. You know, grief is something that you're going to definitely go through. You know, so you have to stay prayed up and lean on the everlasting arms of the Father. You know?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Let me add something to this. Miss LaWanna.
Yeah.
Just don't understand something. What is your middle name?
My middle name?
Yeah.
Kay.
Kay? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. DJ, what's your middle name? Huh?
George.
Miss LaWanna, you believe that? Mr. DJ, let me ask you that again. What's really your middle name?
George.
Hey. So I'm getting it. There's a difference between questioning God, because you don't know, and it's an innocent God. I don't understand.
Right.
And doubting God.
Amen. Patronize.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I did. I questioned Miss LaWanna because I didn't know her middle name. I was just looking for an answer. Now I know. And all you're getting, get an understanding. But I questioned Mr. DJ. He gave me an answer. And I ain't want it.
Right.
Hmm.
That's right.
So when we don't want what God give us, is we're going to slide into the I can't forgive. Because he didn't give you the answer to forgive. And saying that you can go beyond this. Because I still have control. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
That I didn't permit.
Amen.
But you don't want that answer.
Amen.
So here come a long life of suffering because we don't want the truth.
That's right.
Y'all get it?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right. Some people still holding on to their last relationship knowing that person don't want them no more. And suffering because of it. Because they say, I can't move on. Wow. When God said you can, I'm going to reveal the truth to you so you can move on. You just don't want his truth, so you question him. God is just the person. He done told you it wasn't the person for you. But you keep on going back.
It's like we need that instant proof. But like
go.
It states in Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes what we're going through, we may never understand. And that's the point when God wants us to lean totally and completely upon him.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back on your life and take inventory and just look around some of the things that you've already been through, I bet there's several things you can come up with that you questioned back then and said, how am I ever going to get over this? How am I ever going to get through this? And look at where you are today. The same way you got over it and got through it then is the same way God is going to get you over it and get you through it now. We're all on borrowed time. God lends us our family, everything, everybody belongs to God. So we can't really question, you know, the whys. And the, you know, his timing, because everything happens for a reason. God, you know, is the beginning and the end. He never promised us that we wouldn't have a life of suffering, but he lent us, you know, our families, our friends, our loved ones. He lent everybody, you know, to us for a certain amount of time. And the promise, all of us are going to die one day. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand and trust God, you know, and just a good thing that can help is, you know, focusing on not the whys, you know, why did this happen, you know, to this person instead of me. Just try to focus on the positive things. Like, I thank God, you know, like he says I think it's in Thessalonians, in all things, give thanks. So even, that means even through trials and tribulations, not just good times, but even in the bad times, give thanks. Because for everything that goes wrong in our lives, we still have blessings, you know, that we can be thankful for. So we need to focus more on those blessings. Thank God for the time that he lent this person to you. Thank God for the influence that this person had on your life. Or whatever the case may be, this person may have helped you get from point A to point B. He may have, you know, opened your eyes to certain things. You may have experienced love with this person that you haven't experienced with someone else. But those are small blessings that's going to carry you, give you that ounce of strength that you need to carry you from this dark place back to the light.
Right.
At the same time, holding on, you know, to God's promise. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, y'all. Y'all see it?
And
Pastor,
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add. She sparked something in me. And when you're a little kid, you know, like you were saying before, when you're a little kid, you really don't. You know, when you know more, you do more. You understand better by and by. As a little kid,
yeah.
I used to tell my grandparents, "Mother, I can't live without you. Oh my goodness, if something happened to you, I don't know what I would do." I would say that to my grandparents, and I just couldn't understand that. Even going to funerals here and there, and I'd be like, no, not my people. I can't go on. But then as you grow and you understand, the reason why you live is because of them. And it's the same way with Christ. It's the exact same way with Christ. He died so that we could continue, so that we could live. You know, and one thing that Grandmama always used to tell me, if you ever want to see me again, you live right. You do right by the word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we get it twisted. We go to funerals and we cry. But actually, it should be a celebration.
It should
be celebrating them. You know? And it's just ironic. I just had to, at that moment when you said that, it sparked that, because there was a time, we have a famous guy here that does Undertaker, Willie Watkins' funeral home. And on all his verses, the text say, "You too." And I always wondered what that means, "You too." That means one day that car is going to come back for you too. I was like, wow. You know, that was kind of deep to me. But I'm just saying, you get that better understanding of celebrating the life, you know, versus the mourning. We don't, you know, like you said, you know, when we still on that spiritual milk, Mr. Carl, you know, you don't understand a lot of things. You get mad, you get upset. Some people even go as far as say there is no God, because God let this happen and let that happen. No, it's not like that.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Thank you for both of those answers. And I hope, Carl, to help you with your question, because it really, you know, as far as the questioning and doubting God, you know, Miss Luana says something great. Mr. DJ did too, but Miss Luana said, and y'all, look, she says, much like heaven, he helping us out. Since we don't have that type of understanding, it's above earth, so is my thoughts above y'all. In other words, some things we would never understand. So for control freaks out there, you might have a problem with "I can" when you physically can't.
Yes.
Because the reason why I'm telling you this is, you have a problem with giving control over to God. And when you give control over to God, remember, Peter didn't understand how I can walk on. See, some people don't even think, we believe it because of tradition that Peter walked on water. Right? If you really believe that Peter walked on water, how is it that you face obstacle after obstacle every day and you say, "I can't"? So do you really believe Peter walked on water?
Hmm.
Come on, control.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know the Bible says, you know, I'm veering off to the left a little bit, but it still has everything to do with this topic. Monday Night Raw. The Bible clearly says, he says, the tradition of man has nullified the power of God. Do y'all know what that means? He's saying that man's ways, man's corrupt ways, what you have seen from the people before you has nullified my power. What does power do? In essence, the only thing that power does is change things.
Mm-hmm.
Your customs nullify my power to change you. The reason why people don't want to change America is because the ones who don't want to change benefiting from the Hold on, let me say this again, because I'm not politically correct. The reason why people don't want to change America, because the ones who don't want to change the laws, the rules, the flag, the anthem, is because they benefit from its power. The people who want to change are suffering. I don't think y'all hear me. People see that as wrong, even in the essence of the flag and what it represents, but they say, but our tradition. The tradition of man has nullified the power of God. In other words, you don't want to change. Because God's power changes you. Why would God change something that was already good? That means you're not right. That applies to us two people. Everything that you say you couldn't do, God said, you might not understand my power, you might not see it, you might not feel it, but when you have faith in something, I don't have to see it, I don't have to hear it, I don't have to feel it, I just believe in it. Y'all say, well, Mr. Carr crazy because he don't want to get on the plane. I say, you crazy because you don't want to get on God's back. Now what? You hop your behind on that plane and you don't know how you do, you going through that air, do you? So we put our faith more in technology as opposed to God. You can't even explain how that plane go. It's good to me. All right, here we go. Next question. I'm going to go to another caller. I think we have somebody else. Miss Candy, who we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. I heard the message that Mr. Carr spoke last night. So my question is, can you be a Christian yet lack confidence?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you real quickly. What you got?
You can be a Christian and lack confidence, but what are you lacking confidence in? I mean, you're not going to have that's not something that comes easily. Yes, you can lack confidence. You have to stay prayed up and stay in the Word and grow. You have to develop that confidence. The more successful you are, the better your confidence is. But yes, you can be a Christian and lack confidence. That's why we have to encourage each other.
Okay, Ms. LaWanna, what you got?
Excuse me. It depends on how you view yourself as a Christian. Your feelings of worth. It can have anything to do with your accomplishments, your financial resources, or what have you. But what am I trying to say?
Okay, what like I have low self-esteem issues with that.
That's your esteem.
Your low self-esteem is that's based on what you believe about yourself, basically, not who you view yourself in God, in Christ. That's the most important thing. You believing who God tells you that you are. I mean, that's one of the issues that I struggle with personally until I started studying the Word more, and I have no reason. You're a child of the King. You have no reason to doubt yourself because In his word, he says, you can do all things through me, through Christ who strengthens you. You have to start telling yourself every day that you're a child of a king. There's no reason why you should have low self-esteem, because you're created in his image. If you're created in his image, what do you have to do? That's confidence that I needed. Because there are certain, you know, certain factors, certain things that came into play, you know, regardless of what it has to do with. But, I mean, that's where I just studying more and, you know, found strength through the word and basically reminded myself who I was through Christ, regardless of what anybody else says. So now it's like I'm at a point no one can tell me anything about me because I know who I am through Christ.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. I will add this. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogance has everything to do with trusting the flesh ability. Confidence has everything to do with trusting the God ability.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. With that being said, y'all know it. Repeat after me. Faith.
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 Or fear.
Or fear.
Y'all see where I'm going with this? No confidence means somebody's scared. And if you're scared, that means you're fearful. And if you're fearful, that means you lack faith. So it is impossible to be a Christian and lack faith. Woo! I'm going to say it one more time because I'm going to take it to the word next. It is impossible to be a Christian and lack faith. How can you be Christ-like and lack the very thing that pleases him? In other words, if I'm dating LaWanda and she loves Gucci, that's the only thing she wants, but I come there with knockoff, how can I please her and say I love her? The Bible says it is impossible to please me without faith. So let's say this again. Faith or fear? Oh, y'all ain't going to say
faith
or fear?
Or fear.
If you don't have no confidence, that means you're scared of something. You're scared of what people are going to say. You're scared to forgive somebody because they're going to call you stupid. Y'all know we scared to do that a lot, right? Because I can't look weak.
Yeah.
I'm scared to tell DJ I love him because they're going to think I'm homosexual. Well, guess what? DJ, I love you. I'd have had worse things said about me.
That's right. That's right.
You understand? Because, see, where there's scared, where you're scared, that's why they say you're scared. If you're scared, there's fear. And the Bible says that we should only fear God.
Right.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom.
That's right.
But see, that's a different type of fear. See how Satan spins things? Satan wants your flesh to tremble. God wants your spirit man to bow down. So if you're scared because you lack confidence, that means you're scared of something? Oh, it's deeper. That means you can't possibly have something called faith, because faith will elevate you. Faith is the word of God. Huh? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Show me where in the Bible the word of God tells you to be scared. Uh-oh. So you can't be Christian and lack the very thing that God wants, because Christian is Christ-like. And to be like Christ, meaning you walk without fear. How can you walk with fear and say, I look just like him? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Does that make sense? The Bible says, we said it last night, y'all, to approach the throne of God, you must do it boldly with confidence. Oh, my God. You know how many people scared to approach God? You know why? Because their conscience is not clear. They're scared of something. Somebody reminded LaWanda of what she did last night. Somebody reminded Mr. DJ of what he did last month. Somebody reminded Mr. Carl what he's doing right now. So we're scared to go to God because God's going to expose us. This is why the Bible says when you approach the throne of God, you must do it with full confidence. You know what full confidence is? I know I repented and I know I got it right. See, somebody don't know they got it right yet. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Because if we lack confidence in something, that means we're looking at how Mary Kay can't fix the blemishes on our faces, the gym can't get us swole. We have low self-esteem in our own ability. But let me ask you this. That little body of ours, is no good no way. It's going to be full of dirt. As a matter of fact, the reason why I say it's no good no way, it's so filthy that God decides to leave it here. He don't want it. Anything good God takes, it's going right back to dirt.
That's right.
So why would we put our confidence in our natural?
That's through Christ. Christ lives in you.
Man, y'all get it now. You see what I'm going, Ms. Luana? That means...
And also, Mr. Carr, you just said it. I was waiting on you to sum that up, because you do have some people scratching their head. Exactly what you just said, your last statement. You got to have confidence in Christ. You're not telling you to put confidence in no man or nothing carnal. So that's human. I mean, no, you have to have confidence in Christ.
And that's what it is, y'all. Simple. That's why the Bible says, do not put your trust in man. We take that in our child state because we don't know God, and we try to basically a kindergarten trying to translate college material, master's degree, because we're not on God's level yet, so we don't understand it. So we take that to say, I don't trust DJ, I don't trust LaWanna, I don't trust Candy, but I trust me, because I put all my trust in me, because they didn't taught me that. Well, the Bible didn't teach you that, because the Bible said, do not put your trust in man. If I'm not mistaken, man is not gender specific. That means don't even trust you. He furthered it on by saying, don't lean to your own understanding. Now, did that not include you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Uh-oh, but we don't like to hear that part of it. So when we suffer from self-esteem, it's because we're too busy looking at ourselves as opposed to looking at the cross. Comprende?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Comprende? You understand?
Yes, sir.
So from self-esteem issues, that means somebody needs to butter you up, huh? Throw you in a pity party so you can feel good about yourself. Well, guess what? God ain't going to be the one to make you feel good about yourself. God don't care about how you feel about you. He cares about how you look at him.
And you're already validated through God.
Thank you.
Through Christ.
Exactly. And it's wrong. Y'all might say he come with it raw and hard, but it's the truth. It's the truth, because he didn't care about a stuttering Moses. He didn't care about an old messed up David who was a whoremonger and killed people. He didn't care about how you view you. It's what he called you to be.
That's right.
And if you lack confidence, how can the Holy Spirit truly dwell in you?
That means your eyes not on the right place. Because if I'm continually looking at the success of God, how can I be lacking any type of confidence? Because all I see is success. Now, if I'm looking at the waves in the water, old Peter, I do understand why I'm sinking. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Can because
you can't
he
walk
did.
On water if you got stay in boat mentality.
Come on. I can because he did, y'all. All right. We're going to call it like that. That's what it is. So thank you so much, caller. Miss Candy, did we have any other callers? That's it?
Yes, sir. That is it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. DJ. Excellent job, Miss LaWanna. Excellent job. But, y'all, I want to close out
thank
with Miss LaWanna right quick. I mean, we had some interesting conversation, and I need y'all to hear this, seriously. Now, we was talking earlier about a couple things. A lot of people don't want to know any issues because they like, you know, as we were talking about it earlier, Ms. LaWanna, a lot of people say, I'm not into politics. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in politics to be into justice.
Right.
God is a just God. I told Ms. LaWanna about Obamacare. Y'all hear me out. Don't hang up. Just hear me out. Hear me out. I said everybody who has a problem with Obamacare are the ones who actually paying, not the ones who receiving. Anybody beg to differ? Ms. Candy, anybody? Yeah. That sound about right?
Sounds about right.
Okay. Now watch this. Ms. LaWanna, I told you, and I'm going to let her talk. I said, but you know what? I got a couple things that go along with that. With Obamacare, it reminds me of the spiritual stuff. You remember the rich young ruler? With Obamacare, he's talking to the rich people that you got to pay for some other people who couldn't otherwise pay for themselves. But y'all do remember the story of the rich young ruler, right?
That's right.
Remember the man who had it all going on? He had all that money? Huh? And he approached Jesus, and he said, what must I do? Because I got everything upright, and he was good. And God tested him, that his faith was in his money and not in God. And God said, go sell all your riches and give the monies to the poor. And that man said, I can't. And turned away and walked away. Isn't that like Obamacare? Oh, that example didn't hit y'all good enough? The rich people don't want to get, okay, let me give another better example then. Maybe I was slow on that one, Miss LaJuan. What about the one where the only way we can make it to heaven is through God? He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So the only way to the Father is through the Son, correct? He sent the perfect lamb, pure lamb, unblemished, to pay a price for some people that couldn't pay for themselves. See, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough faith. We don't have enough grace, mercy, glory, enough love to make it to heaven. So he came and paid a price for us. In other words, I'm going to sacrifice his riches for y'all's. Obamacare. Oh, that still don't make no sense, huh? Oh, that still don't make no sense to y'all? Okay, let
it
me go.
It makes sense
step.
To me.
Yeah, let me go step one more, Ms. LaJuan. I'm going to let you jump in right after this. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is also required. He also said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. See, the problem with people, they have a problem with Obamacare because they're paying. They don't want to give up because they say, I earned this, not God. See, if you got a problem with Obamacare, you also got a problem with heaven and God. Because in heaven, there's going to be some people that couldn't pay for it, but he paid for it for them. Oh, my God. But do not be a hypocrite and think that you have to be the one that's paying here, and you think that you can slide on into heaven, a place that you couldn't pay for there. Because the Bible says, what you have done to the least of them, you have also done it to me. So if you can't pay for them naturally here, you can't. Ooh-wee. That's hypocrisy, right? When somebody paid for something you couldn't pay for, yet you don't want to pay for something, that's hypocrisy, right?
That's
right. Ms. LaJuan, what you had to follow up
with? Yeah. You know, basically, there's a lot of Bible verses that relates to serving others as opposed to being served. And God sending his Son to minister to us, not to be, you know, serviced, basically gave his life for us. That's a perfect example. 1 Peter 4:10 is, every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I mean, there's so many different examples of us, you know, required to be servants as opposed to being served. But if you don't have that foundation, if you don't have that, you know, belief in Christ, this is the examples that you're going to get as far as, you know, the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor. Proverbs 19:17, he that has pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So your blessings are not just for you to keep. Your blessings are so that you can go out and bless someone else. Don't worry about what you're losing, because he just gave his promise. Whatever you give, he's going to pay him again. God is going to pay you again.
Come on.
Matthew 25:35-40. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in.
Come on. Who are you?
So many examples about Jesus being a servant, him serving, not receiving. But yet, he still came down and paid a price for all of us to be able to live.
Come on, y'all got that? Hold on.
We'll never come close to being Christ, to being, you know, filling his shoes, but we're supposed to come as close as we possibly can. God already knows that we're going to have, you know, we're going to have sins, but he's provided also a path back to him through repentance.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. We're going to close it out in this next minute. I'm going to let you close it out. Because we also talked about this, and this is big, y'all. And this is something people have gotten in the habit of doing. we've gotten in the habit of putting one another down, and the Bible says that we should be building one another up, especially, I know I have all different races on this phone, but y'all understand what I'm talking about, because I got to address, you know, the lowly, right? Especially in the African-American,
right.
Because some African-Americans been scathed on out, and you got it better than somebody else. And so we say that everybody can make it because look at me, I made it. Well, I want to tap you on your shoulder and tell you to slow down a little bit. Because just because you made it don't mean that you made it the right way. Just because you made it don't mean that the other people who didn't make it didn't want it just as bad. Don't mean that they wasn't qualified. You do understand we live in the United States of America, one in which Russia has everything to do with the election, but y'all didn't know that, right? Oh, okay, y'all didn't know that, right?
That's right.
Hillary won it by a landslide. Somebody manipulated it. But don't expect for things to change. Because just like with, I talked to Ms. LaWanna earlier, people who have been in prison wrongfully, knowing that it's wrong, and they found evidence of it being wrong, I think it was over thousands of them, that jury said they still gonna stay in there. See, when it fits their benefit, what you said, Ms. LaWanna, it's a money making market, huh?
Right. It's a profit scheme, basically.
Huh?
Modernized slavery.
And we believe in the statistics that say that black people are more likely to do this, that, and other. No, they're not. You take away hope, I guess there will be. But in the same token, a lot of this stuff is manipulated anyway. But my point is this. Us educated people who got lucky. You got lucky. Your drive was enough to where it didn't offend the white man, right? So you got lucky. And what happens is we say, well, what my black people can't be doing. Well, maybe they don't know God like you do. But why you got to put them down in the meantime and between time? If anything, if I got a problem with them, I'm going to address them, not spill it out to the world. Because the Bible that I read says if you got a problem with your brother, you go to them immediately. See how we be living in sin? But Ms. LaWanna, what I wanted you to talk about real quickly was the fact that how does that affect us as a whole? Because I would say for every 50,000 white people and every 50,000 black people, and you can have a mixture in there, and you can have blacks that are more qualified, but out of 50,000 whites, 35,000 may get jobs. But out of 50,000 blacks, 10,000 may get jobs. But the 10,000 get jobs, should they look down upon the 40,000 that couldn't?
Absolutely not. Just like the Bible says, love covers a multitude. Our love of Christ, we demonstrate love for others the same way we demonstrate our love for Christ. It's how we treat each other, how we encourage one another, even, you know, in times of joy, in times of difficulties. Our spirits are always made new again by the Holy Spirit when we edify one another. We're not just basically building other people up. When we edify other people, we're building ourselves up at the same time. So whatever you do unto someone else, I mean, you're doing it unto God.
Well, y'all heard it. That's what it is, y'all. So we definitely got to be educated in God because we have been fed a whole bunch of stuff. You might not like it, and some people okay with living with that agenda, but I can because he did. God opposed your Sadducees and Pharisees. In other words, your spiritual leaders that we put our trust in, God opposed them because they wasn't living right. As a matter of fact, they got mad with him. As a matter of fact, they the ones who put him on the cross. The people who said God this and God that, and the ones who read the Bible put God on the cross. It wasn't the people in the world. I want y'all to know that, right? Go read your Bible. Y'all hear? Y'all see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, like we've been fed for years that Jesus is white, God is white. Hmm? We've been fed for years. Santa Claus white. All this stuff. It ain't no racial stuff. Just do your studies. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Amen.
Just do your studies. Indians is just as black as your skin color. That's why they say Washington Redskins. What color is that Indian on that helmet? Who was here first?
Black Indian.
Who was here first? But they don't want you to know that, and we buy into that because we don't hear the voice of them. Technically, I don't care who was here first. I don't. But in the same token, I'm not going to bow down from telling people the truth just because they got an agenda from being here, claiming that they was here first. So if that's your agenda, I'm going to tell you behind the truth. No, you wasn't. Now, until you decide that it don't matter who was here first, and it's going to be an issue, I'm going to stand in the truth. Y'all hear me? Some people, they say they don't like confrontation. You don't have to like confrontation. But see, when it comes to justice, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is taken by, it suffers violence. You're not going to understand that. I mean, spiritual stuff that's going on. It's going to be a spiritual war. And if you know like I know, as peaceful as Jesus was, it still was violent here on earth. You know why? Because people cannot stand the truth. Now, some people are still going to be in fear. I understand that. Bow down. Go ahead and get to the back of the line. But for those who can, because God did, you know what time it is, because he said he's looking for bold Christians, not to push a race war, but to push justice for all. You understand? The Bible says to rightly divide the word of God. That means if LaWanna only need one slice of pizza and Miss Candy need three, but Mr. DJ need eight, that's how I'm going to disperse it. I don't care if Miss LaWanna get mad and say, why he getting eight? None of your business. You didn't make the pizza. Just enjoy. Y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The reason why it will always be, and I will say it, yes, all lives matter, but black lives matter because somebody don't think that they do. And somebody smart on this phone can say, well, black people don't think that either. You know why? Because they have been bamboozled and branded that way. Because when you take hope away from people, they will destroy themselves. Go ask Jim Crow. He wrote laws for that. Go ask Willie Lynch. He wrote laws for that. But I'm going to talk to God. He wrote a better law. Nah. With that being said, Mr. DJ, they say he on his Malcolm X. It's a Jesus Christ preach. Because Jesus tired of the foolishness. And he said, what you have done to the least of them, you have also done it to me. It's funny how he didn't say what you have done to the best of them. See, that's predicated on what you deem to be lower than you. Be careful of that. Mr. DJ, go ahead and pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you humbly on bending knees saying thank you. Thank you, Father, for another day's journey and keeping us on the path. Father, thank you for assembling us together in this place via technology to come together and gather your name, uplift your name, and talk about you, Father, and be in the Word and be about your business. Help us to grow. Help us to spiritually enhance each other so that we cannot keep it for ourselves and own self-gratification and knowledge and understanding, but to go out and tell the world about you, Father, and to make us better people.
Yeah.
Thank you for traveling grace and mercy, Father, and just bless us, everybody under the sound of my voice. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Y'all have a great night, and make sure, okay, make sure that the words I can, because he did, stay in your vocabulary. Okay, Miss LaWanna, we appreciate you for joining us on this evening. We thank you for your knowledge.
Thank you for having me.
And we thank you for all that. And Mr. DJ, as always, we salute you. Miss Candy, we appreciate you. And for every caller that has called in, even with the questions, we thank you for chiming in. All right? Y'all have a great night.
Good
and
night.
We'll see y'all on Wednesday for Bible study.
All
thank
right.
you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.